Why the same workout works differently for different bodies. June 11, 2026. Sports nutrition researcher Elie-Jacques Ferris is pushing for a more nuanced understanding of how individual athletes and everyday exercisers burn and conserve energy. Stand at a desk instead of sitting, and you burn more energy, right? Not necessarily, says Elie-Jacques Ferris, assistant professor of clinical and sports nutrition in the Department of Nutrition and Food Sciences at the American University of Beirut. In one study, Ferris compared the energy expenditure of 44 participants while they were sitting and while they were standing. He found that only about 20% burned more energy while standing. The rest were what he calls energy savers. Their bodies performed the same task without spending more calories. That distinction between bodies that spend energy and bodies that conserve it runs through Ferris's work on exercise efficiency, body composition, and how individuals can be categorized according to the way their bodies burn energy. It also helps explain why the same training plan or even the same simple movement can produce different results in different people. That matters for athletes preparing for events like the Tour de France or World Cup. It also matters for everyday exercisers trying to lose weight, improve fitness, or better understand how their bodies respond to activity. We tend to assume that if two people do the same activity, they are spending the same amount of energy, Ferris says. But the body is more complex than that. Some people expend more. Others become very efficient at the same task. What are you trying to understand about how different bodies use energy? Most of my colleagues in nutrition focus on energy intake. In other words, how many calories we eat. I focus on the other side, how we burn the calories we take in. Energy expenditure is complicated. We burn energy at rest, when we eat, and when we move. But we do not always burn energy in the same way. The sitting versus standing experiment is a good example. Even during a simple task, some people were energy spenders, while others were energy savers. That is because the energy cost of an activity is not determined by the activity alone. It also depends on how the body carries it out. How much muscle is recruited? How is posture maintained? How efficiently does the body stabilize itself? How quickly does it adapt to a repeated task? Two people can appear to be doing the same thing, but internally, their bodies may be doing different amounts of work. Once we understand that complexity, we can more successfully guide people based on their goals. Some people may want to conserve energy. A long-distance runner, for example, may want the body to become more efficient over time. Others may want to burn more energy. That might be the case for someone trying to lose weight. This also connects to exercise efficiency, which means how much energy someone uses to perform a given activity. Efficiency is not inherently good or bad. It depends on the goal. Training can teach the body to do the same work with less energy. That can help in endurance sports, but it can also reduce energy expenditure during a familiar workout. For weight loss, I often recommend varying the type of exercise so the body does not become too adapted to one activity. If bodies respond so differently, how should people approach nutrition plans? One of the biggest lessons is that you have to test what works for you. Athletes do this before major events. They try their diets, sports drinks, supplements, and caffeine strategies months in advance. That way, they know what helps, what does not help, and what might even cause problems. The same principle applies to everyone. One nutrition plan or one exercise plan can benefit one person and be detrimental for another. For the average person, the takeaway is this: change one variable at a time. If you alter your diet, add a supplement, or begin a new exercise plan, give yourself enough time to see a pattern. Track how your body responds. Look at your weight, energy, hunger, sleep, performance, and whether the plan feels sustainable. You have also studied body composition tools. How useful are these for helping people understand whether a nutrition, exercise, or weight loss plan is working? Body composition machines such as InBody, Tanita, and Sika are familiar to many people. They send a very small electrical current through the body and use the results to estimate fat mass, muscle mass, and body water. Those estimates can be useful, but they often rely on equations that may not be equally accurate for every population. That's why I'm interested in bioelectrical impedance vector analysis, or BIVA. Instead of relying only on the machine's final estimates, BIVA looks at the raw electrical values behind them. These include resistance, reactance, and phase angle. Resistance shows how strongly the body slows a current. Reactance reflects how cells hold and release a current. Phase angle combines those measures into a broader indicator of cellular health. Together, those values can help us understand hydration, body composition, and how a body is changing over time. Knowing those numbers can help athletes monitor performance, but it can also be useful more broadly. For example, if someone is training and thinking about taking a supplement such as whey protein, we can test them with BIVA before they begin. Then we can test them again after 1 or 2 months. If the results show meaningful changes, the plan may be working. If not, the supplement might be a waste of money. Where do you hope your research leads, and what are you studying next? The hope is to make research-based health recommendations that better reflect how each person's body works. One next step is a set of projects with the International Atomic Energy Agency and other research partners. In these projects, we are using stable isotopes, which are safe tracers in the body, to measure how much energy people expend over time and to assess body composition as accurately as possible. These methods can also help answer broader health questions. For example, in one project, we are looking at cardiovascular disease risk. We are examining how more precise measures of body composition can help us better understand the relationships among metabolism, fat mass, muscle mass, activity patterns, and long-term health. I am also working with collaborators in the United Kingdom to understand what drives energy intake. We are looking at how individual body composition and energy expenditure influence the amount of energy people consume over time. The more we understand questions like these, the closer we get to nutrition and exercise guidelines that reflect how each person's body actually works. Are you a member of the media looking to speak with an AUB expert on this topic or others? Please email media inquiries at aub.edu.